Welcome to the Arise Village Women podcast. I'm Lisa Lewis, and I'm excited that we are going to go through chapter 5 and steadfast wisdom. And I think we're in a season of our culture and our world where we could all use some wisdom in navigating our life decisions, as well as just what's going on in how we care for people and how we represent Christ. So I'm excited for Lauren Souls to bring us through this chapter and passage and talk to her afterwards about her so what. So here we go to Lauren.
Hello, Village Women. My name is Lauren Souls, just like Lisa said, and I am so excited to be here with you all today. And just as always, we are diving into a passage that just has so much in it. And I'm going to do my best to not take up your entire day, but we will see what happens. No promises. But we're diving into James 3:13 through 4:12, and Abby beautifully went through the beginning of James for us, or James 3 for us, where it talked about teachers and the words that they use. And so James is still talking to teachers, but just like Abby talked to us, we are all influencers of somebody. So this is super relevant to us, and we should take note of what he has to say. So he jumps into it, and if we boil this passage down, this section of scripture, what James is saying is really we have two choices in how we can arise and live. We can live according to the earthly wisdom that we find, or wisdom that comes from above. And like earlier in James, Courtney points out that what else comes from above is from the Father, and it is good. And so that's a little bit of a preview of what choice she thinks we should make and what choice that I'm going to talk the most about today. But if you go to choice number one, if you choose to live your life by earthly wisdom, it's going to be a way that many people will admire. And they're going to tell you that you do you, and you do what makes you happy, and follow your heart. And I'm sure many of you have heard those phrases and more. But the problem with them is that it leaves you and your sinful motives to be the guide for your life. And let me tell you, my sinful heart is full of so many evils that just does not lead me down the right path. And so one of the things that James 3:16 says, that when we are following earthly wisdom, it's powered by selfish ambition and bitter jealousy. And where those things are, you will find every evil thing. That is not the life that I want to arise and live. But you guys, if we break down the people who are popular or the people who stand out in our culture this day, take a second and think about someone. Maybe it's a celebrity, maybe it is a politician. And if you think about them and the world around us is lifting them up as an example for us to live by, stop and look at their life. They may have what they want. They may have all the physical and the tangible things that they could possibly want in this world and a successful career. But look at their relationships. So many of them are broken because when we are driven by our selfish ambition, guess what? That's going to collide and conflict with somebody else's selfish ambition, and there's going to be quarrels, and that's going to lead to broken relationships. Their lives are surrounded in chaos. Their legal battles are probably many. And it's like they start to collect evil things. They collect addictions, and they collect sexual immorality and crime, and the list can go on and on. And they glorify and encourage others to sin. That's why we have so many times we have all these award shows where these artists come up and they do the most productive and crazy performances in the world, is saying, this is awesome, our girls should live like this and dress like this. And you and I are sitting there going, what? But it's because they are being driven by something that is selfish inside of them and what they want. And they want to be able to do what they want when they want and have nobody tell them otherwise. Well, my friends, when somebody in the world is being lifted up as an example to follow, I want you to be weary of that and say, are they truly living by heavenly wisdom, or are they being driven by selfish ambition and bitter jealousy and bringing all and every evil thing to them? That is what we get when we choose number one and we live the life and arise to live under the earthly wisdom. Which clearly that is not what James wanted for the teachers back in the day, or what we want today. That's not who we are calling you to arise to, or who God is calling you to arise to at all. And I love when Brianne comes before us and she shares that when she reads the word that she looks for things about who God is or who God's telling us to be. I know there's other things, Brianne, and I can't remember all the things that you say right this particular second. But what she's doing is she's giving us the gift and teaching us how to study the Bible. She's giving us a method on how we need to study the Bible. So as we dive into our second choice, and thank the Lord that there's a second choice, that we don't have to stick with earthly wisdom because it just doesn't sound so great. I wanted to walk you through another method that we can use to study the Bible because, one, I feel like it's going to help us break down what it looks like to live a godly life, and two, we get the bonus of learning how to study the Bible in a different way. And so I'm going to walk us through what's called the SPEC method, and the SPEC method is an acronym, so every letter is going to stand for something different. And for all of you that love to fill in all the lines and have all the answers, I can't do that today. I don't have enough time. So we're just going to focus on a few things. And there are going to be things that we leave out from this passage. And believe me, that's harder for me to do than you even know. But we're going to focus in on just a few things. Lisa is in here with me right now. She's laughing and she's in agreement. That's a laugh of agreement. I just want you to know that we are going to just focus in on a few things so that I don't keep you all day. So the SPEC method is what we're starting with. So SPEC starts with the word S, and that stands for sins to avoid. Right when we get into James 3, the later half, in 3:13, it says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in meekness of wisdom." And at first, when you read that verse, you're like, oh, that sounds great. Where's the sin in that? But it says, by his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. And so the sin that I see that we need to avoid in that is pride and boasting. We don't need to be ladies who are wise and walk around being like, I am so wise and look at me, listen to me, I'm wise. What we need to do is be wise in meekness and show our wisdom through our good works, but do it in meekness. Courtney defines meekness on page 134 in our books, and she says, it is strength reined in, under control, and willingly submissive. It is not the absence of strength, but the proper restraint of it. So often when we boast and when we're prideful, that is showing a weakness because we want it to point towards us. But she is saying it is strength to be submissive to somebody else and to be obedient to his calling and his work in our life and to do it for his glory and not our own. And so when you are thinking of living a life of godly wisdom, it needs to be void of pride and boasting. The second thing comes from James 4:4, and it says, you adulterous people, do not know that people or that friendship with the world is enmity with God. Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Those are some harsh words. To be adulterous people, to be an enemy of God. And James is using Old Testament language right now because he's reminding them of what kind of relationship and reminding us of what kind of relationship we are to have with God. That we are to be in a covenant relationship with him. That we are to solely be committed to him. And what's happening here is people are saying, I want God, but I want some of these other things from the world too. I want to follow God and obey him, but I'm not willing to give up some of these other things. And with that, it's like we're cheating on our relationship with God. It's as if we were saying, I want my husband, but I still want to have a boyfriend on the side too. That doesn't work. And all of us would look at that in a marriage relationship and go, oh, no, 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 no. Well, God is calling us out and James is calling us out in that too. We can't have God and have the world influence the way that we live and think wisely. And so we see that so often today in the world, you guys. People want to live by God, but then they also want to say, love who you love. It doesn't matter. But no, God created marriage to look like this between one man and one woman. And so we can't say, I believe everything else about God, but I'm going to let people love what they want to love. That's breaking the covenant relationship we have with the Lord and saying that the world and their belief system is at the same level of God's or deity in my life and his willing or his ability to be my God in my life. And that's just not true. God is God alone. And the world does not measure up. And the way that the world wants to live in the earthly wisdom does not measure up to God's. So we cannot be prideful and boasting, and we need to not be adulterous people. We need to be fully committed to our covenant relationship with the Lord. This second part of the SPEC method is promises to claim. We need to live like we believe these next two things I'm going to say. And the first one is this. Like James 4:5 says, or do you suppose it is to no purpose that the scripture says he yearns jealously over the spirit that he has made to dwell in you? The promise there is that God yearns for a relationship with you. He yearns, which means it's a deep longing. It's not just kind of like God goes, eh, I guess it's okay if she's around. He yearns for you. He has a deep longing for a relationship with you. Live like he does. The second promise to claim is that we find in James 4:8, and it says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. The promise comes in that first part where it says, if you draw near to God, he will draw near to you. God is not like any other relationship we have where if we put ourselves out there, we're vulnerable, because God promises that if we draw near to him, he's going to draw near to us. He's like no other relationship that we truly have. So we need to live knowing that our God wants a relationship to us. And if we put ourselves out there for that relationship, he promises to come and deliver on his part and bring his part of the relationship to us. So sins to avoid, promises to claim. The next one is examples to follow. That's the E in the SPEC method. And we don't necessarily have a person to follow in here, but it says that if we are living wise, these are the things that are going to show up. And so think about people as I read these words that show up and these things show up in their life. And those are the examples that you can follow. Those are the people that are trying to live under godly wisdom. And it's this, that we are to be pure, peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy, good fruits, impartial, and sincere. And I want to just touch on a couple of those. And the first one is pure. And that defined is that we are free from any sinful attitude or motive. So right there, we know that earthly wisdom is not going to work because our motives are not pure. They are fully selfish. The second one I read was gentle, and they called it a sweet reasonableness. And I loved that. It says that it's the ability to extend to others the kind conversation we wish to receive ourselves. And so I think of my own self, and when somebody comes and tries to correct me, do I respond with sweet reasonableness, or do I respond with trying to stick up for myself and defending myself and defending the things that I did? Let me tell you, it's the latter more often than not. And so I need to work on letting wisdom take over my reactions and being gentle towards people. So if we are living godly, wise lives, those things will show up in our lives. The C of the SPEC method is commands to obey. Oh boy, this passage was full of them. But again, for time, I can only talk about a couple of them. And the first one might sound strange to you that this is what I want to talk about, but it's James 4:9. And it says, be wrecked and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. He's not saying he wants us to walk around being weepy and sad all the time. He's saying, I want you to take sin seriously. He's saying, being wrecked and mourn and weep over your sin. It's saying, have a correct view of what sin is and the price that was paid because of your sin. So the command there is, be wrecked and mourn and weep over your sin. Don't take sin lightly. And because of that, the second command that I want to focus on is humble yourself before the Lord. Our posture towards the Lord is not an option. It is a command for us to come humbly before the Lord. James 4:10 says, humble yourself before the Lord and he will exalt you. The Lord wants to lift you up and he wants to offer you the grace that someone in I read said is God's grace is the unmerited favor of God. And so when we come before him, we need to come in a humble manner so that he can change us and lift us up. What a great promise that is, but also a command that our posture before the Lord is not an option. We need to humble ourselves before him. And the last part of the SPEC method is the knowledge of God to acquire. These are the things about who God is that we need to know because of this passage. And the main thing I want to say is this, that God is the Lord of my life, that he is in charge of me, not me. When I'm left to my own methods and my own ways, selfishness and bitter jealousy are what are going to drive me. But when I'm under the knowledge or the wisdom of the Lord and what's coming from above, you guys, I'm going to have an eternal perspective. And I'm going to be able to step back and I'm going to respond differently. And I'm going to be full of, what did I say? I'm going to be full of peace and pure and gentle and open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits and impartial and sincere. Those things are not in me without the Lord. We need to be humble before Him so that that is what can come out of our lives. Without that humility and without that recognition of His role and our role and really honestly our correct view of sin, we're not going to live godly lives. So worldly wisdom, it comes with selfish ambition and jealousy, and it harvests quarrels and every vile thing. Wisdom from above is void of pride and boasting. It's void of adultery in our relationship with the Lord. And it's living knowing our God desires a relationship with us. And our true understanding of sin leads to humility. The wisdom from above, it sows purity, peace, gentleness, just to name a few things. The contrast of these two things could not be more different. And our choice is clear. We need to live lives that are based off of heavenly wisdom.
Well, I'm here with Lauren, and we're going to talk about the so what's for the chapter. Woo! Favorite part.
It is the favorite part, and you know what? This week it's super easy because there's only one so what.
There should be three.
I know. It seems like there should be, doesn't it? Because it always is three, and it should all start with the letter P or D or something like that.
Just one.
But it comes from James 4:7, and it says this, "Submit, therefore, to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you." So whenever you see the word therefore, Lisa, in the Bible, the question you should ask is, what is the therefore, therefore? And what it's saying is, after all this stuff, after you understand what a godly life should look like and what a life lived under the wisdom from above should look like and the things that it needs to come out of, you understand you need to humble yourself before the Lord and therefore submit to his leadership and his lordship of your life. So what we're called to do is submit to God. So there's no other real action step that we can take other than put ourselves before his authority.
And taking it straight from scripture is a great way to just go with your so what.
You can't be wrong, right?
Nope.
So Lisa, here's what I want to hear from you though.
Okay.
It's easy to say that, submit yourself to God. But if you talk to my husband, he will say I'm not great at submitting, and he would be correct. And if you talk to the Lord about my life and my past, he would probably say the same thing too. So what are you tempted to continue to live under earthly wisdom? Like, where is it hard for you to submit your life under the Lord's leadership in your life?
I would say, as I look at wisdom, it's probably throwing out the earthly wisdom and like taking the godly wisdom. But that takes like time and patience and humility, right? To seek that, because I feel like the earthly wisdom is so prevalent. It's like right there and I can just like, oh yeah, that's a good thing to do. I should do that and I should do that. Versus godly wisdom, I have to actually be in God's word. Mm-hmm. I have to be in right relationship with him in order to have that, because it's almost always, most of the time, contrary to what the world is saying. And sometimes I think I might take an easy way to just go contrary. Like there's a book I'm reading right now for, and it's called The Hunger Games, and the whole world was reading it, so I didn't read it. I chose that as like, not, I didn't call that godly wisdom to not read it, but it was like this choice.
Almost like a red flag, like the rest of the world is doing it.
The rest of the world is doing it, I'm not going to do it. Mm-hmm. And that, and so anyway, but that can't be the premise that I live by, but rather like there's actually wisdom and peace that flows from that, not ignorance and lack of motion. So like passivity is not peace, but rather like, wisdom is going forward, and the arise, right? We're supposed to arise to godly wisdom, not just avoid earthly wisdom. Mm-hmm. So,
so true.
That would be my very personal answer. How about you, Lauren? What's yours?
Great question, Lisa. Something that I've been challenged to rethink a lot about is kind of like, this isn't necessarily something that I would say I follow, but earthly wisdom would teach, you know, if that person doesn't treat you well, you don't have to treat that person well. Or like tit for tat or something like that. Mm-hmm. Like, but I think that sometimes my actions will say that. And I will show partiality towards people because of how they treat me. And it's not because of any other thing, but they treated me poorly, so I can treat them poorly, you know? And partiality and racism and all of that has been just so alive in our world right now, right? Like, it's a topic that everybody's talking about. It's a hot topic. And before Easter, I was reading through the book of John, and it said, one of the things that just really stuck out to me is that through the whole story, Jesus never treated Judas any different than the other disciples. He knew what Judas was going to do, and he knew he was going to betray him. And in my head, like, what earthly wisdom would be say is, like, you know he's going to treat you bad. Why are you going to treat him well then? Like, don't do that. Take care of yourself. Like, you before anybody else. But Jesus didn't live like that. He washed his feet. He took care of him and treated him well too. And James says that one of the things that will come from living a godly life or a wise life according to the wisdom from above is that we will show no partiality. And so my definition of what partiality is just had to change and has been really challenged. Do I treat other people whether they treat me well or not? Do I treat other people the same no matter what? And I don't think I can say yes to that question. So that's been something that I've really been challenged by and have to refocus my life around and not let earthly wisdom be my guide there. Mm.
That's a good word.
Lisa, in our last study, we were really challenged to remember. Mm-hmm. So to be able to remember, we have to like be intentional about that, right? So mm-hmm. What is something that you truly want to remember about wisdom from this chapter that Courtney wrote about?
It really struck me on day 5 when she's talking about the 3 types of peace. And she said the first one is the peace with God, and then the peace of God. And those 2 are both gifted to you. Mm-hmm. But then the 3rd one was peace with others. And then that's a commandment. And I was just challenged by like the other that I just think of peace just like more generically and don't really parse it down. And so that is something I want to remember is like, that's a command to live at peace with one another. And again, arise and be active towards that. You see a theme in my life. Don't be passive.
Mine is sort of along those lines too. On page 130, one of the things that Courtney said is that a person of wisdom will bring peace into a situation and not create more chaos. And so, for me, when I go into a situation with my kids or with youth students or other women, whatever it may be, I want to bring peace to that situation. And I want that to be a mark of the wisdom that I bring, to the situation, not chaos. I don't want to be a chaos causer. I want to be a peace bringer. Mm-hmm. How's that sound?
I like it. I think also, like, when we think about, like, the bringing up quarrelsome or, like, oh, did you consider? Like, all these things. And Jesus used questions all the time to draw people out. But we use questions sometimes to, like, to pick a fight. And it's like, oh, no, let me be a question answer that really, like, digs to the bottom of the well and brings up life. Kind of back to, like, how our words and speech can be life-giving. Mm-hmm. But that is so true in those situations.
And it's helped me. This season, I've told so many people, I feel like my discernment meter is just broken. Like, between COVID and all the election stuff and political things, I just don't know who to believe anymore. And so my new marker as I'm following people is who are people who are bringing peace or who are people who are just bringing chaos to a situation. And sometimes things aren't going to be peaceful all the time, you know, like, but are they the cause of the chaos or are they trying to add peace to a situation? And so I encourage you, as you watch leaders in your own life, who's bringing peace or are they causing the chaos?
Mm-hmm. That's good. So Lauren, the question we ask every chapter is, what is steadfast wisdom?
This is how I would define it, you guys. This is what I feel like if we wrapped it all up in a pretty bow, this is what it would be. Steadfast wisdom is living wisely, meaning humbly and meekly before the Lord, truly understanding and recognizing his role and ours and being faithful to submit our lives daily under his lordship. Say that 10 times fast, Lisa.
I'll write it out in the show notes so you guys can see there's such depth in those words. I feel like you were so purposeful in picking those words. Yes. So you guys can see it written out and dissect that a little bit more. So. Yeah. Well, thank you for joining me today. Next week
My pleasure.
Is actually Steadfast Hope. And I think hope might be when we did our favorite words in small group, I think I didn't say hope, but I think hope is probably one of my favorite words, and so I'm looking forward to hearing what the Lord has for us from this book of James about hope. So we'll see you guys next week.